Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Plell, joined in the studio by James Hill and Robbie Wilders. Quite the duo, you two now. I've been on the last couple of these postcasts and I'm liking it very much.
I think we complement each other's styles, I'd say, very much.
Getting into a good rhythm for sure. Tom Nugent's on the line from Paddy Power as well. Tom, great to have you here. First off, where have you been out and about this weekend?
I was in the car both days. So yeah, I've had a busy weekend. It was very enjoyable.
Well, on that note, let's start off with the Irish 2000 guineas then. Phoenix of Spain, could you have seen it coming?
Personally, no, didn't back him, but very, very impressive, yeah, especially given his first run of the year. A very, very, very impressive performance and a shrewd move from the Irish National Stud, who purchased him as a stallion prospect during the winter. So he races on for the owners. I'm not sure what the crack is. Will he race on at four or whatever? But good value from them to win a classic in his first run of the year. So, yeah, he was very impressive. And the traders in work and Paddy Power took the view that the guineas in the Curra was probably the better race than the Newmarket Renewal. So as a result, Phoenix of Spain goes in at 6-4 favourite now for the St James's Palace Stakes at the Royal Meeting.
Okay, Robbie, first off, Too Darn Hot, let's talk about him. Yep. Overrated last year, has he trained on? Is he okay this year?
For me, he's been the victim of a slightly interrupted campaign. I know a lot of people are saying that he's quite a small horse, he's not really grown over the winter, which is also a concern, but it's not ideal backing up after the Dante that
very
quickly.
Very un-Gosden-like, wasn't it?
He's very un-Gosden-like. He has a poor record in Group 1s with doing that as well. Two of the last 19 horses he's tried to do that with, backing up in Group 1s after less than 2 weeks prior to racing, he's only won twice, and that was Enable in the King George and Persuasive in the QE2. A lot of horsemen beaten in that time. I think so. Yeah, I saw it on Twitter. I'm claiming that.
Oh, so you stole it, really?
I did nick it. I did nick it, but I'm going to call it my own. Yeah, that was quite... I wouldn't give up on Too Darn Hot, though. I think if he met Phoenix of Spain in the St James's Palace, I think it'd be quite close between them.
Okay. Jimmy, what's your opinion on Too Darn Hot? He seems to be a very... You know, he's polarised a lot of people.
I wouldn't give up on him yet, personally. He might not be as good a three-year-old as he was a juvenile. He was an exceptional juvenile. Ratings he put up prove that. Things haven't gone well for him, as Robbie says, so far this season. I think, you know, really backing up quickly from his Dante run in the Irish 2000 guineas is always going to be a tough task. I thought he ran okay. And I'm hoping for some improvement at Ascot and beyond. I'm never one to rule out a John Gosden horse. Ruling out a John Gosden horse in May is a bit like, you know, giving up on your garden in March. I mean, there's a long summer ahead.
I like that. I like that very much. Phoenix of Spain then. So you'd take Too Darn Hot over him at Ascot then?
Oh, no. I expect a better performance from Too Darn Hot. He might get close to Phoenix of Spain at Ascot, but I thought the winner was seriously impressive. He clearly has improved from 2-3. I thought he was a terrific price on Saturday, personally, because of his form with Magna Grecia last season. You know, even given the fact that, you know, it was his first run of the season, he really shouldn't have gone off a 16-1 chance. Mm. He's always looked like a horse who would improve as he get older. Lovely big grey, really nice stride on him. And winning by 3 lengths, that deficit is going to be hard to make up at Ascot.
Yeah, Robbie, what did you make of those in behind? Obviously, Magna Grecia was pretty disappointing.
Yeah,
Escardu ran his race, I guess.
He did. Magna Grecia, maybe something will come to light there. I don't think that's the same horse we saw at Newmarket. Yeah. And I think we all thought he'd probably improve from that run, being first time out. The Crypt in third, running a huge race for Paddy Toomey, who's also bagged the third in the 1,000, which we'll talk about later. But that was some training performance. He shaped really well. But I think Magna Grecia has a couple of questions to answer. It looks like all three of them are going to meet in St James's Palace, and that will be very interesting. I just wouldn't have too much between Too Darn Hot and Phoenix of Spain in the betting there myself.
Okay, so you think maybe there's a bit too much between them.
Yes.
We'll move on to the 1,000 guineas on the Sunday, won by Hermosa. She doubled up in hugely impressive style. Tom, just looking ahead to Royal Ascot, I mean, their vibes that she's going to go for the French Oaks and all sorts of other targets. But if she was to turn up, I think she's about a 2-1 chance.
Yeah, she is. Is it? I think she's in the Coronation Stakes. But
yes,
in the media huddle afterwards, we were waiting for quite a while. There was a fairly lengthy discussion. John Magner was there along with the other Coolmore partners, and Aidan came over to the press afterwards and was not definitive, but very much that it suggested that the Prix de Diane was kind of the number one target at the moment. Now things might change, but Hermosa's 2-1 second favourite for the Prix de Diane now. So that looks like the most likely target, listening to Aidan.
Okay. And stepping up in trip on pedigree, Jimmy, you'd have to think it would suit her.
Oh, definitely. Her sister, Hydrangea, was very versatile regarding distance. I think she... Wasn't she placed in the matron or ran very well in the matron and then she went and won?
She won the matron.
She won the matron, yeah. And then she went and won the race on Champions Day over a mile and a half. Mm. So I would expect there'd be no problem her getting the Diane trip at all. She looks the way she races like she'll get further. I was very surprised, really, that she won as easily as she did on Sunday. I thought she won the 1,000 guineas really by just outstaying her rivals.
Yes.
But I mean, she never looked like she was going to be beaten on Sunday. She absolutely dominated, really strong at the finish. And she, at the moment, is a standout filly. I mean, she's really improved from 2 to 3.
Yeah, arguably the standout three-year-old, right?
I'd have to say, yeah, the standout three-year-old that we've seen so far, absolutely. It's maybe a slight shame that the Oaks is so close off the RS 2000 because...
Mm. I don't know. I mean, technically she could still run in it, couldn't she?
5 days. I'm not sure.
Unlikely.
Yeah, it'd be very unlikely. Yeah, that could bottom her out completely. Yeah, you'd be concerned perhaps that the first three home or the first three in the race throughout, that maybe they didn't go a strong enough pace, but she still absolutely romped home. A bit disappointed with East in behind. Quite fancied her.
Too maybe bad we to can. True, wasn't it?
It probably was, yeah. That's the first time she's raced on ground that quick. Maybe that can be cited as an excuse. Could be disadvantaged by the track position there as well. But yeah, a couple of questions for her to answer now.
Okay, let's move on to the action at Haydock then. And Batash, he returned with a bang. What a weekend it was for Charlie Hills and his team. Congratulations to them. But he looked to get out of bed on the right side. And he's an unstoppable force, Jimmy, when he's on his going days.
Oh, he's fantastic to watch. Such speed. I mean, he really is so high class. People call him a bit of an in-and-out performer. His win at Goodwood last season was his best ever performance on Racing Post ratings. But I actually, apart from that run, never felt he was at his best at all throughout last term. He had another wind up after before his victory at Haydock on Saturday. So I think clearly something was probably amiss last season. So hopefully we can see a more consistent horse because, as you said, you know, watching him is an absolute joy.
Mm. What price is he now for the King's Stand, Tom?
We went 5-2 directly after the race. He's just a 9-4 shot now at the top of the King's Stand. Blue Point is 11-4 second favourite, 9-1 and bigger the rest.
And what did you make of him?
Yeah, it was very impressive. Now, I was kind of nipping in and out of the press room at the Curragh, so I didn't really see, I didn't have a time to watch the replay or anything like that, but he's impressive. But as the lads highlighted there, he can be just a little bit in and out. He can be very, very short come post time. Like, he was beaten in York, he was 4-5. He was beaten in Longchamp last year, he was 11-10. And he can just disappoint you, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The price now is probably maybe as big as it's going to be. I'm not sure. Closer to post time, Ascot, you know, we often say Cheltenham, wait until the day because you get a bigger price. But Batash in the King's Stand, a lot of people might latch onto him and he might shorten up a little bit. But I'm not certain about him myself on a big day. I just couldn't get stuck into him, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I'm with Tommy. So it comes with the risk attached, doesn't he?
He does indeed. That price is now fair, but you wouldn't want to be taking it as well with as Tom says, that could easily drift on the day. He was about 6-1, 13-2 for the King's Stand before the race. You'd be happy at that price.
Yeah,
but now it's looking like not a betting interest. This was a savage display. Maybe he's growing up finally, but more evidence will be required to see if that theory is true.
Yeah, I mean, what can we say about the Sandy Lane? I think most people were expecting Calix to blow his rivals away, and it didn't happen. He was turned over, Jimmy.
He was obviously a big surprise. he did go off a very short price favourite for a horse. He was only, I think, £2 clear on official ratings. And the winner, Hello Humzain, is pretty decent himself on his day. Sounds like they're still going to be heading to Royal Ascot for the Commonwealth Cup. I wouldn't totally give up
on
him.
Does it worry you that nothing's come to light? Because he did sort of look... A lot of people were saying maybe he was lame or...
Well, the trouble is he never looks actually... even though he's clearly brilliant, he never looks that comfortable when he races.
That's very true.
He always carries his head a bit high. He hangs a bit, as we saw when he won last year at Royal Ascot. And Haydock is a track where you get a lot of top-class horses not running their race. So it just seems to be one of those places where it's difficult to quicken up. It's a bit of a grind. It didn't look to suit him at all. He certainly didn't quicken on Saturday. It is a little bit concerning that nothing's coming to light, but we know how good he is at Ascot. We know he'll get the strong pace he loves there and the ground that he likes, so he'll have plenty in his favour. I still think he's the one to beat.
Mm. Yeah, Robbie, I thought he was an absolute superstar. I really did. I think he's such a talented horse, so I was really downbeat.
Yeah, well, I think he could still be a superstar. He just did so much wrong. He was playing up in the stalls beforehand. He was quite slowly away. He sort of veered across the track as well. Something possibly amiss. But as Jimmy says, nothing's come to light, which is a concern. But we know he handles Ascot, and that's a real specialist track. He can draw upon some really smart course form there. The Coventry win was absolutely outstanding. I saw one firm reacted by drifting him to about 8-1 for the Commonwealth. I thought that was a massive overreaction myself.
Yeah, what price do you go, Tom?
Yeah, we actually went 8 directly after the race. Kallick's second favourite. He's back into 6-1 now. And the winner, Hello Humzain, was clipped from 20s into 8-1. 10 sovereigns tops the market at 7-4.
Fabulous, thanks. Has anyone got anything else you want to mention? There was racing at York and also at Goodwood. We had LR Cam, we had Mirage Dancer both winning. Any future targets in mind for them, Jimmy?
Well, Mirage Dancer, obviously, you've got to think about the Hardwick Stakes for him. That was a race that Sea Moon won in 2012, Sir Michael Stout, before going on to win the Hardwick. Stout, as we know, dominates that race.
He's having a great season, isn't he?
He's having a great season, yeah. I've always felt Mirage Dancer was a horse who would improve as he got older, as so many of Stouts do, and he did look like he was a better horse for his first run at 5 on Saturday than he had been at 4. So the Hardwick's the obvious race for him. There was another one at Haydock that caught my eye of Mark Johnston's Saron Priestley. I thought was very impressive. I know he was odds on and he was meant to win comfortably, but he stayed on very strongly. Looks like the perfect type of horse for the Queen's Vase.
Okay, any for the Notebook in Ireland, Tom, whilst you're at the Curragh? Anything sort of take your eye?
I thought Pretty Pollyanna ran a blinder in the 1,000 guineas. Mm. On her first run back, I'm not sure what the plans are now with her now, but she's an 8-1 shot for the Coronation Stakes. I thought she was a cracking each way bet. If that was the intended target, I don't know what the plan is.
Mm. Yeah, it could well be, couldn't it? I mean, she's now proved she stays that trip, which was a big question mark last year. Robbie, who's found their way into your notebook?
I was really impressed with him there. He sort of put it all together. His form in the Earl of Sefton has obviously been working out extremely well. We had Zabil Prince winning on Sunday, which we'll look at in a bit. He looks... I know Johnson's trying to find a Group 1 to make him a stallion. He might find something like the Prince of Wales is a little bit hot, but at the moment that race is shaping like a race where it's all really mile and a half horses, and he looks an out-and-out 10 furlong horse. I think there could be a soft Group 1 in him, maybe one in France for later in the season, but... He certainly, this is a much improved display and he's not one to give up on.
Yeah, and Jimmy, you mentioned Zibiel Prince. He looks a really good horse on the up.
Yeah, he is. Improving. I didn't really think much of that race at all, really, on Sunday. I mean, okay, they all finished in a bit of a heat, but he's going in the right direction. I'd be interested to see where he goes now. Might need to step up again if it's a Group 1.
Yeah, I think that Connections were very adamant that he wants to go up in trip as opposed to down, so perhaps we won't see him in something like the Queen Anne. And Robbie, I know you mentioned the French action, Call to the Bar, he won the sort of staying race there as well, but he's going to be up against it if he were to run the Gold Cup or something like that, wouldn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. He wouldn't be on my mind for the Gold Cup. Just on the subject of the Gold Cup, though, and this is not on the running order at all, I think there's one which is massively overpriced.
Go for it.
Falcon 8, trained by Dermot Weld. Mm. He's very lightly raced. On his comeback run, though, he was very eye-catching behind Twilight Payment. He had Capri in behind. And just the further he goes, the better he looks. And I could see him turning up at the Ascot Gold Cup being kind of underestimated. There's so much more to come. He's going to stay further. He looked quite green there. That there's a lot more progression to come, and I think he's around 25-1, and that would interest me.
Yeah, I know Nick Watts, he fancies him very much for Ascot. We did actually record a Royal Ascot postcast covering the Ascot Gold Cup and some of the mile races as well, so make sure you give that a listen. And on that note as well, we have the Racing Post Royal Ascot Guide for 2019. Plenty of brilliant stuff in here, whether you're after the top class racing or just a day out. So get your hands on one of these at racingpost.com/shop. It's just £12.99. And on that note, we'll take a break.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. Now we're going to look ahead to the action at Epsom on Friday and Saturday with the Oaks and the Derby fast approaching. But let's start off with the Coronation Cup, a race that's shaping up to be pretty exciting. Tom, just run us through the prices.
Yeah, Kew Gardens 7-4, Favlati Darnex in 7-2 alongside Old Persian, Salouen 8-1 alongside Magical, 10-1 Mirando Coronet, and 16-1 and Bigger the Rest.
Yeah, I quite like one that you've not even mentioned there. I was just chatting to Robbie before we went on air. But anyway, we'll go to you guys first. Robbie, do you think Kew Gardens can sort of bounce back from his disappointment at Chester?
He certainly can, but I wouldn't want to be taking a short price out of him. I was really disappointed with him at Chester. I was expecting a really big season. He's obviously going to come on from it, but he seemed to have quite a hard race as well.
Alarming that Ryan Moore jumped off afterwards as well a little bit, wasn't it?
Very concerning, yeah. He's not a horse to give up on, but he's, having said that, he's not a horse I'd want to be taking as favourite here. Old Persian supplemented is quite interesting. He's very much on the up. But the horse who I thought was a bit underestimated, as I was telling you before, is Coronet. She has so much Group 1 form without winning one. Just last season, second in the Yorkshire Oaks to Sea of Class, third in the King George behind Poet's Word and Crystal Ocean, second to Magical in the Champion Fillies and Mares, second to Waldgeist in the Prix de Saint-Cloud. All top class horses. She deserves one of these. I know she is a bit disappointed in her seasonal return, but she will come forward from that. I thought around 14-1, I thought that had a bit of juice in it.
Okay, John Gosson's horses, I think you could argue, Jimmy, probably not quite firing on all cylinders this season, maybe. Is that fair? A bit harsh?
Well, Calix obviously was disappointed. As I mentioned earlier, John Gosson's horses tend to improve as the season goes on. But no, he still had a few winners on over the weekend. I mean, he's not in bad form. So Lati Dar certainly has her chance. This isn't the classiest running, I would say, of the Coronation Cup. It's very competitive.
There's quite a bit of depth to it, though, isn't
it? A lot of depth. I have to say, as much as on his performance at Ascot first time out as on his run against Cracksman last year, I think you've got to give Salouen a really good chance. I know that a lot of his form away from Epsom, you would say, well, he's not really a Group 1 horse. But both his run in the Derby and in last year's race was top class. And he run really well at Ascot. He looks like he could be improving as he's getting older. And if you look in the last 10 years, older horses actually have had a very good record in this race. Any rain, there is a bit of rain forecast for the week, would certainly help his chance.
Yeah, it would. The one I'm interested in is Marmello. I think he's around 25-1. I think that's a really big price given his former against the likes of Cross Counter, and he looked really good in his return. But who knows, it could be a step too far. Tom, any thoughts on the Coronation Cup?
Absolutely with you, Maddie. I think Marmello is a cracking bet of 25s. I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign, but he's a horse I love. He's only been out of the frame 4 times in his 18 runs. He's a real money spinner, and he's gone to Australia the last 2 years and ran good races. And as James highlighted, this isn't the best running ever of the Coronation Cup. He's only rated 117. I'd actually say he's probably a slightly better horse. He thumped Defoe, who's 117 the last day as well on his first run back. At 25-1, I think Marmello is a savage price, and I think he could run a very big race.
Yeah, I can't see him being that price in the day. Just don't get too carried away. We need them to keep that price what it is.
You're on, Maddie, it doesn't matter.
I'm not on yet. I need to get on. Anyway, we'll move on to the Investec Oaks. Plenty of money recently for Medea, however you pronounce that, John Gosden's filly. Tom, can you see that support being sustained, or is the lad's pink dogwood, is that going to come forward into the betting a bit more?
I would say Pink Dogwood could be very, very well backed on the day. We're Medea 9-4 favorite, Pink Dogwood 11-4, 6-1 bar. If you look back at the form of the Salsabil Stakes, which is Pink Dogwood's last run, it's a listed race in Navan, and the form is absolutely incredible. I will pull it up here and just talk very quickly through it, because there's a whole heap of horses. I'm just trying to get it now is the next thing. The second hasn't ran since, but the third, Tarnawa, in the Salsabil Stakes, came out and won a Group 3 in Navan the next day. The fourth, Fresnel, ran an absolute blinder to finish fourth in the Musidora as well. Credenza is Group 3 placed. She was sixth in that race. And Tritheus is Group 3 placed as well. So the form of that Salsabil Stakes is absolutely incredible. And I'm surprised we're 11-4. Pink Dogwood for the Oaks. I think she could be very, very well backed on the day.
Yeah, there seem to be very, very strong vibes about Pink Dogwood, guys. Personally, I'm not just buying it yet. I'd like to see a little bit more from her. What do you think, Jimmy?
It's a fascinating race, this. She's got a lot to find on form, but the two runs I've seen from her so far, Frankelina has really impressed me.
I was surprised that she was left in a little bit, because she's very lightly raced and...
Yeah, but I think I'm expecting, providing she handles the track. Yeah,
She was the eye catcher from the Musidora.
I thought she was pretty green when she won first time at Yarmouth. I mean, both from Yarmouth to the Musidora, she stepped up a huge amount. Yep. On form, you wouldn't have given her a chance on that Yarmouth run in the Musidora, but she nearly won it despite missing the break. I'm expecting a big improvement again. William Haggis's fillies tend to improve a lot for their first run. And she's well bred. It's just a question of whether she can handle the track, whether she can handle all the preliminaries and everything. But if she can, I'm expecting a big, big run from her. So she'd be my main hope. I mean, obviously, the two fillies at the top of the market, you've got to seriously respect. If rain comes this week, Medaille's got to have a serious chance. She was very impressive in the Chester Oaks. And as you mentioned, the vibes for Pink Dogwood are very, very strong indeed. I also think that Delphinia, if she takes a chance for Aidan O'Brien, could run well at a big price. So she might be a bit of each way interest, but my main hope would be Frankelina.
Yeah, it's not heard of Aidan O'Brien to have the 1-2-3 in races like that, so I wouldn't put it past him. Robbie, who's your fancy?
Hermosa's been left in, but it's unlikely she's going to turn up only 5 days after the Irish Guineas. I'd love her if she turned up.
If she turned up, do you think she'd win?
No, I think it's come a bit too soon. But I mean, Aidan's had it on many occasions where horses have backed up quickly and put in improved performances. I am very much with Jimmy. I love Frankelina. I'm just a bit concerned about the track and the occasion. If she turns up at Everton, whatever she does afterwards, she'll improve from. I've actually already backed her for the Ribblesdale. Around 12-1 with one firm, but not many firms have priced it up. But you could see an improved showing at Ascot, certainly, as she starts to mature. I think Medaille is a fair favourite, but if you force me into a bet, I'd stick with Frankelina for this as well as the Ribblesdale.
OK, and just to chuck another few in there, what about the Pretty Polly winner Maxad, and what about Annapurna, who won at Lingfield? Jimmy, who would you have as sort of best the rest?
I liked Annapurna at Lingfield. She looked
quite a small filly, apparently.
Quite small, so, yeah, on appearances, I wasn't...
That could help round Epsom, though.
Well, yeah.
Bigger filly, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, you want someone with a long stride as well. But I was impressed with her at Lingfield. I liked the way she handled the bend. I mean, I think she's very much a stable second string behind Medaille, but I would marginally prefer to Maxid. Maxid was impressive at Newmarket. You just got a question mark about her stamina for this.
Yeah, for sure. I know that Frank Hickey's really mad keen on Manuela de Vega, who finished behind Medaille at Chester, so she could well feature as well. Let's move on then to the Saturday and the Derby. But before we do, it's the Investec Dash, one of the fastest races in the country. Just roll us through the betting for that one, Tom.
Yeah, Hatik was a good winner at the Kerr over the weekend. He was clipped from 10s into 6-1 favourite for the Dash now. Copper Knight next in 8s alongside old favourite Duke of Firenze and Dark Shot. Muthmere 10s, Ornate 12s alongside Just the Lord and Kick On, Kick On. And it's 14-1 and bigger the rest.
Thanks very much. Yeah, you mentioned Duke of Firenze. Hard to believe he won this race back in 2013. What a grand old boy he is, Jimmy.
Yes, won at Thirsk and then won again at York on Saturday. He's always had a good record at York, but he's also run very well here before. And yeah, no, definite chance. I mean, gosh, you could throw a blanket over these. You've got to see what the draw's going to be like. And yeah, they've got to have the brakes and everything. I'll probably make a final decision on Saturday, to be honest with you. But I might have to have a say over on Blue de Vega, who probably didn't get the best run last season. And it's definitely got the talent to win this. Mm-hmm. Just needs a break. But I mean, a faster on 5 furlongs, I've always thought, you know, suited him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yep. He's interesting.
Very interesting horse. Robbie, how do you approach a race like the
Dash? Just wanted to touch upon Duke of Frenzy, actually. I saw a fascinating stat that he's been beaten at 1.01 in running, and he's won at 1,000-1 in running.
Oh, wow.
There can't be many horses
that
have done that. How do you approach it? Well, you probably have to fire as many darts as possible, but today, myself and Jimmy Hill are very much singing from the same hymn sheet, because I've got Blue de Vega in my notes as well. He wasn't even on the north of 14-1. It looks a bet. He's £5 lower than when fourth in this last year. He's kind of in and out. He doesn't win as often as he should, but he is well treated on past form. He ran in the Irish 2000 Guineas a few years ago for Michael O'Callaghan. He's obviously turned into a sprinter now. He'd be the way I'd be looking to play here.
I think I backed him for the English 2000 Guineas a long time ago. It tells you how poor my betting is. Tom, any thoughts to add on the Dash?
No, downhill 5 furlongs is definitely not my bag. I'll leave the professionals to form their opinion there. So
okay.
I'll dodge that bullet.
Sure, no problem. One bullet that you're definitely not dodging is at the Investec Derby. Now, great news today that both Sir Dragonite and Telecaster are going to run in the race. That adds so much to the race as a spectacle. Run us through the fresh betting, Tom.
Yes, Sir Dragonet is still at the top of the market, 3-1. Broom next in 9-2 alongside the supplemented Telecaster. Anthony Van Dyke 6-1. Bangkok is 8-1. Japan 10s and 12-1 and bigger the rest.
Let's talk about Sir Dragonet as a favourite then, Tom. I mean, still so inexperienced. People are worrying if it's going to be a dry week about the ground. What about the occasion and things like that? He seemed very relaxed at Chester. Could you see him taking a bit of a walk in the market with other horses coming in towards post time?
Listening to whispers at the Kerr at the weekend, no.
Okay.
I would say there's been some serious bits of work done in the last couple of weeks, and I would say, listening to whispers now, I'd say he's definitely the one they're very, very keen on. I know there's a few people that think Japan might improve of the rest of the Ballydoyle runners, but if you were to listen to a few people in the car now at the weekend, Sir Dragonet was very much on the tip of their tongues.
I love this. We've got like a little mole who's going around telling us all the gossip. Sir Dragonet, Robbie, I mean, do you fancy him?
Mightily impressive at Chester.
It was.
I think he's one of about 7 or 8 horses who could win. I think it looks an excellent race. You can make a case for so many.
It does look a good race.
He wouldn't be the bet for me. I loved what Anthony Van Dyke did at Lingfield. First time out, he'll definitely improve from that. He was obviously a very smart juvenile. He's an even better 3-year-old now. He's hard, he's experienced, he's got a lot of class. And if you force me for a bet at this stage, it'd be Anthony Van Dyke. But I mean, you go through so many of the runners. You've got the English Challenge of Telecaster and Bangkok. I mean, they're big players again. You might worry that this might come a bit too soon after the Dante for Telecaster. They were concerned about that. But I mean, seriously, I think it's excellent. It's one to savour. I won't be betting yet. We'll have a look on the day to see if anything looks a bit juicy. But yeah, brilliant race.
Yeah, it could be a wise tactic. Jimmy, Aidan O'Brien, he sort of held the major hand in all the trials. He's got Broom. We mustn't forget about him. Anthony Van Dyke, that Robbie's mentioned. And Sir Dragonet. Where's your money going to be lying?
I agree with Robbie. I think the most solid contender from Ballydoyle is Anthony Van Dyke. You know, he should come on a lot from his Lingfield reappearance. He wasn't fancied in the market at all that day. Ground was against him, but I mean, he handled the track very well. The step up in trips seemed no problem at all to him. So I'm you know, half a furlong more. I don't think it will be a problem. His stamina's fine. So I'm expecting a big improvement, and we know from his form last season that he's got the quality to win a derby. So Dragonet, I mean, yeah, he could absolutely dot up. He could be anything, really.
Yeah.
He was very, very impressive at Chester. But, you know, with a colt we know so little about for a race like this, I just can't be taking too short a price about him. Interesting that so many of you fancy Marmello for the Coronation Cup, because I think people at Hugh Morrison's will tell you that quite a lot of the time, Telecaster works all over Marmello. So if that one wins the Coronation Cup, that's a big boost to his chances in the Derby.
That's interesting. I like that. And Tom, back to you. Are you going to be sort of sticking to these whispers or are you on something at a juicy price?
I thought Bank Hawk is a big price today to own, given he beat Telecaster in his maiden. Now, Telecaster's had the opportunity to put up some big figures in the interim, but I think Bank Hawk could be just as good, if not better, and he's almost twice the price. So, Bank Hawk for me each way.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. I was looking through the race just before, and I thought he's the one who's perhaps been overlooked a little bit. Telecaster, maybe the occasion might get to him a little bit. He does seem a slightly buzzy horse. But anyway, that wraps up our Investec Derby preview. We'll be back on Friday, of course, to talk through the race in much more detail. So stay tuned for that, and we'll take a break now.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the final instalment of this Monday postcast. It's time for our midweek racing section now, where I'll spin you through the meetings. Tomorrow we're racing at Brighton, Leicester, Redcar, Ayr and Southall. Wednesday is Newton Abbott, Beverley, Hamilton, Warwick and Cartmel. Thursday is Lingfield, Weatherby, Yarmouth, Carlisle and Sandown. And Friday, Carlisle, Wolverhampton, Epsom's meeting gets underway. Of course, Stratford, Doncaster and Chelmsford. Now, we're just going to keep hold fire on your naps for now, but what else do you fancy this week? Robbie, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, I got one I really like at Epsom on Friday, Mads. In the mile, half a furlong handicap, leader writer, sent off 9-1 for the Lincoln last year, won by a Dave. He's been bang out of form, really, ever since. Apart from his last run, he's joined David Ellsworth from Henry Spiller.
Yes, I saw this.
He had a spell hurdling, which he clearly didn't enjoy. Ran a really eye-catching race on his last start. He's gone up a pound for that. He's £8 below his last winning mark. During the race, he came from the rear, travelled really nicely, but could never quite get the front two, finished third there. He looks laid out for this, and that £8 low mark's really interesting me.
Yeah, got to admit, he was on my radar. Didn't realise he was running this week. Jimmy?
Well, I've got to give a mention to the big meeting of the day on Friday, which is Stratford's Hunter Chase meeting.
Yes.
This used to be I think if I'm correct, this used to be the meeting where it was a jumps finale where the season finished. So, for even grey beards like me, I mean,
National Hunt fans.
It is properly the end of the jump season. It's going to be a very sad day. but I'm going to put up Kay de Burley, who runs in the Horse and Hound Cup on Friday at Stratford 7:50. Very, very impressive at the Punchestown Festival. He beat all of the best of Ireland's hunters there. Beat them by 28 lengths. Mm. Now, he's running over 3 furlongs further here, so stamina's obviously a question mark. But if he is in similar form to what the performance he put up at Punchestown, I think he's going to be very, very difficult to beat. So, yeah, Cade de Burley for me in the Horse and Hound Cup.
Yeah, he's certainly an exciting horse to watch, isn't he? When he gets rolling and he throws in some magnificent leaps. So, Cade de Burley, watch out for him at Stratford. Tom, over to you.
Not much for me, really. If Hee Haw gets a run in the 7 furlong handicap in Fairy House on Thursday, he ran very, very well in the curve for a long way. He could be interesting, but not a huge amount to make my argument very, very compelling. I'll stick that to that for the nap.
Yeah, save that for the nap, which we'll get on to now.
This will not be beaten.
I'll stick with you then, Tom. Go for it.
I really, really think Pink Dogwood is a very, very has an excellent chance in the Oaks. I think if you have a look, I'd compel anyone listening to have a look at the form of the Salisbury Stakes and just look how good it is. It's some very, very smart fillies in there, and I think Pink Dogwood is going to win the Oaks.
He knows the word from Ballydoyle. Jimmy, I'll go to you next.
I'm going to go to Epsom on Friday for the 5:15 Surrey Stakes, Watan. Been running well for a long time, this horse. His form keeps seem to be being boosted. Mm. He was second to Phoenix of Spain at York last season. Ran well for a long way in the Craven Stakes behind Scardew, and then he gave Jash a really good race at Newmarket last weekend. I think this is an easier opportunity for him. I think 7 furlongs is about his trip as well. So I think Watan and the Surrey Stakes can go really well.
I like the sound of that very much. Robbie, I'll give you the final word.
Yeah, nipping over to Fairy House on Thursday for the 7:25. 7 furlong handicap that Tom just touched upon. A filly called Carefully. I put her up as my nap on the postcast a few weeks ago. She was robbed at 7-1, just beaten on the line, bumped into one. Gordon Elliott trained Pennsylvania Avenue. Showed a really good attitude that day. She's been raised £5, but she's definitely got a win in her. She's only rated 70. Talked through the breeding again. She's out of Irish 1,000 guineas with a marvellous buy war front. She's definitely better than that mark, and I'm not concerned about her tenacity at all. I'd be surprised if she doesn't go in here.
Okay, so Robbie hoping that he can finally get off the mark with Carefully then. That's it for today's postcast. What a week of racing we have in store. As I said earlier, we'll be back on Friday. Bruce will run through all the tipping then as usual. So don't miss that. We'll see you soon.
Friends, or maybe more, earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. Begambleaware.org.